Hello and welcome to an all new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience. I am your host, Lisa Ann, and I would like to extend my gratitude to you for making me a part of your listening experience. I know there are a ton of amazing podcasts out there, so thank you for taking time to listen to me. If you prefer to watch, you can also see all of my podcasts. I do a live premiere of my new episode that drops every Wednesday, that same Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on a YouTube live premiere. We sit in the chat, talk about our week, we talk about the episode. And if you're just catching up, you can go back and watch my library of podcasts from this, the Lisa Ann Experience, to my other podcasts that I used to do, Dudes Do Better. There's a ton on my YouTube channel, same as all of my other socials, The Real Lisa Ann. Go there and subscribe today. Lots to catch up on before I bring in the guest, touch on the mailbag. I want to remind you that my books are still on sale on my store for free shipping until May 5th. So you have a little bit of time left. And I got to say, I admire how many people have ordered both The Life and The Life Back to be able to take advantage of the free shipping, which is totally awesome. So the code at checkout is Spring 2023. Also, I lowered the price of my paperback book on Amazon. It's now only $14.99. I thought I would do this through the summer for people that are in other places that I don't ship to, or people who just prefer to order everything on Amazon. It's a great summer read. So a paperback is easy to take in your travels. And I thought putting it down to $14.99 would be a fair price since it's not autographed from Amazon. But I just got back from Exotica Chicago. It was the team's 50th show. I cannot believe that these two, Jay and Dan, and their amazing crew of work help all everybody that's with them, that helps set up the show, that helps us from the security to the builders. They've done such an incredible job. And this show was really special because it was their 50th show. And I learned something at this show. So Tara Patrick came from Italy, which was a highlight for me because I got to spend so much time with Tara this weekend and we had a great time. What I didn't know was Tara Patrick is who introduced Jay and Dan. Now, if you don't know who Jay and Dan are, they are the founders of Exotica, the shows that travel through the U.S. They do four different cities a year. And I had them as a guest. You can go back and listen to the podcast with Jay and Dan from Exotica and hear their story. But to know like how they actually met was through Tara was absolutely such a cool thing. Tara and I both got in a day early. We got in on Thursday so we could see each other, kind of catch up before it got crazy there. And then Friday, the show started. We were up early since we got in early on Thursday. And so we met for breakfast, spent time till everybody started to show up, got to catch up with everybody at breakfast. And then we each were hosting events. So a lot of times during Exoticas, which is a trade show, it's kind of like a Comic-Con, but you get to see all of your favorite adult stars. And there's vendors that have everything from, you know, toys to there's also like panels and speaking engagements and conferences. So your sex educators, like everything you want to know in the industry and in the world of adult is there. And so we sign during the day, take photos. I sold a ton of books, signed a ton of autographs. And then we have night events. And in some cities, the night events are like an hour away from the actual venue where Exotica is. So you're like, okay, it's great. I have this night event. I'm going to sign all day. My event doesn't start till 11. It's going to take me an hour to get there. You end up getting back to your hotel at 4 o'clock in the morning. You've got to get right back up at 8 the next day. So ideally in Chicago, there's these conference centers at the hotel and they let us set up there. So we set up at the conference center there and there we were, that's where our events were. So I had Friday night and Tara had Saturday. So we decided to do the buddy system thing. Hey, I'll go to your event if you come to my event. If you were watching on social media, I was posting photos all weekend. My accounts again, The Real Lisa Ann. So the buddy system works. So on Saturday, we actually knew we were going to have a little bit of time before her event. And when we got done signing, because Tara and I are of the same mind, we like to go to the show early in the afternoon and be out by 9. Tara 8. Me, I'm still 9, but I did 8:30 this time. And our webmaster is the person who runs our website. So before there was OnlyFans, before there were user platforms, we all had our own websites. And so it was a very important way to have like a library of your content. And I had been working with Rob for a long time before Tara was looking for someone to help with her site. And I introduced the two of them, and it makes me so happy that they work so well together. And Rob brought his wife from Canada, so we were able to schedule a nice dinner in between the show on Saturday night and her event on Saturday night. And we all had dinner together at Gibson's. Gibson's is one of those Chicago restaurants that I have to eat at every time. And luckily, there's a Gibson's right between the hotel and the conference center. Like, we walk by it every day to go over to the show. So we had a beautiful dinner at Gibson's. Gibson's does this thing with desserts. You get this slice of pie, and it's like 6 inches tall and 6 inches in diameter. I've always wanted to see what the actual full cake looks like what the full pie looks like, because it's got to be so incredibly massive. But it's something that if you have 5 or 6 people, you put it in the center of the table, you just share it. You cannot order one of those on your own, but you can also not go to Gibson's and not order one. So we had a beautiful dinner and we had a great time at the show. Sunday, we had a little get together afterwards with just some of the people from the show in a big room at the hotel. And it was super casual. So we're there, I'm in sweats. We're all just super comfortable unwinding. But these trade shows are such a great way to connect with people. This was the busiest I've ever seen Chicago. We've always thought Jersey was the busiest show. This show was crazy. It was packed every day, even Sunday. Sunday's usually a little bit of a lull. Sunday's usually the day where we get to go around and take photos with everybody else at their booths. But when you don't see me posting all day at Exotica, that means I'm so busy I can't even pick up my phone. And it's great. It's great to see people comfortable being out, enjoying just people watching, walking around, maybe some shopping, but just the confidence in people getting out in large groups again is such a good feeling. It's so fun to witness, and I had a great time. If you're one of the amazing people that came in to see me at Exotica Chicago this weekend, I thank you so much, because I really, really had a great time. I got to meet some people that I've never met. I'm going to give a shout out to Wendy, my fantasy football sister. Wendy came in to see me. She drove a little over 2 hours to say hello. We got to meet in person. I had a huge line. I spotted Wendy out of the corner of my eye. You get just enough of people on social media to be able to know, like, I'm going to recognize this person when I meet them in person. I know I am. I looked over and I yelled, "Wendy, is that you?" And she was like, "Oh, I'll go wait in line." I'm like, no. We're in a fantasy football league together. People will understand. This is important. We must hug. We must take some photos. We must chat for a couple of minutes. Shout out to Wendy for making the effort, coming to see me. You know, I have so many different kind of the web that I weave, right? So many different kind of ways that I know people. And my sports friends are so special to me because we get so close during whatever the fantasy season it is that we're playing, whether it's fantasy football, basketball, baseball, but everybody has their sport that they love. And you can talk in the apps, and we talk at the draft, and we talk through the season. And it's just a great new addition to my world is building these friends. And with Wendy, I was trying to put together, you know, get some more women in my leagues, right? Have some balance to my leagues. And some of the women that I play with are definitely sharks. Like, they know their stuff. They're good with trades. They're up on the waiver wire. And Wendy is one of those. So got to meet Wendy. Two Jeffs came in to see me, and they came in together. They're both from different places, but they know each other through me. And that's another thing about, you know, being a person that has all of these, this big web that I talk about, all of these different little relationships that I have from doing my live premiere on Friday nights, from doing my live chats on whether it's IG, Facebook, what have you. I'm building these connections outside of my world for other people. It is so cool to see people become friends because of me. Like, that is like the coolest thing. And so Jeff came in on Friday night and said hello. So Jeff Squared in the house. It was great, but an awesome, awesome show. Pulled the all-nighter on Sunday to get my flight early morning Monday. I prefer flying on Monday than Sunday. Sundays are usually pretty crazy at the airport. Monday mornings, pretty laid back, pretty quiet. Pulled the all-nighter. So yesterday when I got in, I was like, okay, Let's just see how you feel when you get home. If you feel good enough to not sleep and you could put all of your things away, because I'm trying to create this new habit of the day I get home, everything has to be put away. You know, there's times where I'll like live out of my toiletry, my makeup bag for a couple of days. That's not ideal. There's days where I'll just like put some stuff away and not others. I'm like, no, you're going to unpack. You're going to take your suitcases back downstairs to storage. Like, you're doing this and you're doing this right. And I made it. I made it up until 2 o'clock. Then from 2 to 4, I worked. So I had a couple of meetings. And then at 4:30, I went for a massage, got back by 7:30. I'm watching Succession, another great episode. And I'm asleep by 8:30. Feeling brand new today. Got up, went to the gym. I'm here with you. I've got some work to do. I'm going to go to cryo. I have a meeting tonight. So like, I'm keeping the flow going really nicely. And it all really builds up to some big, exciting surprises I have for you here this coming summer. This is going to kind of be more towards my fantasy football people, but it's also for people who have not yet gotten into a fantasy football league. Don't feel that you have the time to commit to setting your lineup every week or going to the waiver wire or making trades. There is something called best ball. And best ball is when you just get to enjoy the fun of the draft. And you do a much larger draft, so you have more players on your team. You don't set your lineup. You don't go to the waiver wire. You do nothing for the rest of the season. It's almost like mock drafting, except you can win a little money at the end. I do a bunch of $5 leagues because that's just enough for me to get, you know, get different drafts series going, get to different player depth going, and I'll be doing an entire month, one a day for a month. And I'm going to schedule them in advance and share with you the page on Fantrax. You see, I have a new sponsor right here. That is Fantrax, the home of my new home of my previous fantasy football leagues. I'm moving them over to Fantrax. I'll be doing best ball with all of you. So if it's something that you want to learn about, this is the best way to do it because it's just a one-day commitment for a couple of hours for the draft. And how it works is at the end of each week, your highest scores get totaled. So if you get players that get injured, you don't have to worry about it. They're out. You have enough players to plan for those. You got to remember to draft a ton of quarterbacks, ton of running backs, ton of wide receivers. I will do a mock of one so everyone can see what it's about. I'm going to do some of them live here on my YouTube channel. I'm going to do some of them live on my Instagram, on Facebook. I'm going to do them all on platforms. And I'm going to offer the Fantrax best ball drafts on all different times of the day as well. This way I can interact with people in Australia. I can interact with people in Germany. Anywhere that you are, you're going to be able to take part in these best ball leagues, which is amazing. So if you are a fan of fantasy football and you want to get into it this season, or you have a league that you're putting together, or you have a league that you'd like to move over, there's a lot more settings on Fantrax where you can customize your leagues. Maybe you don't want to have a kicker. Maybe you want to have a super flex with the quarterback. Maybe you want to have a tight end premium. Whatever you want to do, you can do it at Fantrax. And what I really love is how they built their draft queue. So normally you can just put players in your queue and it'll keep them in the order that you put them in there. But on Fantrax's upgraded platform, you can put your quarterbacks in one queue, your wide receivers in one queue, tight ends, running backs. And I just think for best ball and for all drafting, that's going to make sure that you know you are hitting your quota for getting enough of those players. So go to Fantrax.com/LisaAnn and check out what I'm talking about. And you're going to be hearing more about this soon. For those of you who don't play fantasy football, I am always sorry when I take you down a rabbit hole that I'm not sure you want to be on, but maybe you're a reader. I have a book club. This month's book is Love People, Use Things by The Minimalists. You can find it on Amazon. I have not yet set the date for the book club live right on my YouTube channel, but when I do, you will be the first to know. Guys, do you believe that you should be in the first to know about how special things can make you a special you? Do you want to feel better in the boardroom, the bedroom, or the gym? Check out Ultra Farm RX. Ever feel like your performance just doesn't measure up? Does worrying about it make it worse? Let me let you in on a little secret. Many men use Viagra and Cialis not just to treat ED, but to boost their performance and last longer.
Whether you're in front of the camera or behind closed doors, every man can use a little help to last longer. It's never been simpler to get what you need. At ultrafarmrx.com, you can get doctor-trusted treatments 100% confidential online from your phone. No awkward doctor visits. No waiting in line at the pharmacy. Discreet and confidential, guaranteed. Better performance is just a few clicks away at ultrafarmrx.com.
Today, we have a conversation with a new friend who has many, many, many layers. You're going to want to give him a follow after you hear this when I bring you my new friend, Connor Cox. Another day, another chance for an amazing conversation with a multi-layered friend that I just got introduced to, Connor Cox, who you can follow on social media at C-O-N-E-R, no T-N's.
O-R.
With three X's. So it's Connor Cox, the adult style way, but we've got two layers here. We've got Connor, you write and sing. The band is The Holdings, which everyone can follow very easily at The Holdings Music. And you're also in the industry as a producer, creator, star. Let's start with the first layer. I'm so excited when I get to meet someone who can tap into their creative juices and write music. How long have you been pursuing music and how many years have you been doing this?
So first of all, I just want to thank you for having me. You're a legend and it's truly an honor to do an interview with you. So thank you so much. But yeah, I started playing music when I was 15. I was just singing at that point, didn't play an instrument. I got kicked out of the band because they decided they wanted to just go full metal and not, and just scream and not sing anymore. So then I had to start my own thing. Had to learn how to play guitar. That became the last relapse. I added some of my friends to the band. Reject that phone call there. So I played music under the last relapse for like 6 years or so. Had a few of my friends join the band. Played a couple hundred shows, mostly in the Southeast. I wrote all of our songs, played guitar, sang. And then porn kind of just came along and took over my life. And then I didn't have time for that anymore. And then, basically... 2020, 2021, I mean, my dad started collaborating on some music and, cause he's retired at this point and just a music factory and just pumping songs out. Like he's released like, I don't even know, 10 albums the last 5 years. It's completely insane.
So this is a musical family that you're from now that your dad is retired. And also, so The Holdings is a family band, am I right?
It is. My brother's learning how to play drums right now to maybe join us. but yeah, I mean, it was a fun project. My dad's an incredible musician, composer, but he doesn't like to sing and come up with words. So that's like where I kind of came in to like kind of just tie a bow on everything he was creating. And it came along very easily. He was really good at everything else. So it was really fun.
How long did it take you to learn how to play guitar?
I was really bad for a year or two. So I was keeping it real simple. You know, the first one was like 16, 17. I sounded like Justin Bieber just playing chords and writing love songs. And then it got more complex from there. But it took a while. It did not come very naturally, but I got a handle on it over time.
Did you take guitar lessons or did you teach yourself using the internet?
I taught myself using the internet, doing guitar tabs, learning different songs that I liked, and then, you know, just kind of figuring out my own technique. I definitely have a unique approach to it because it's not textbook at all.
I think it's great. I mean, utilizing the tools of the internet are something so many people forget. The great thing about that is with your busy schedule, you could easily factor in the time that you could go online and be like, okay, I'm going to put an hour in tonight, maybe an hour in the morning, instead of like signing up for classes where you've got to be there at a certain time. I'm imagining that you live in Los Angeles and we all know how bad the traffic is there.
I live in Florida now. I lived in LA from 2016 to 2020. But I'm originally from Atlanta and I lived in Florida for a couple of years before moving out to LA. So ultimately I decided Florida is a good fit for me, at least for now. Yeah, I love it here. I'm in Tampa. It's kind of a good midway point between Atlanta and Miami.
What was it like living on the road? Was it tour bus life? Did you guys fly everywhere, drive everywhere? I always love to know what road life was like.
Yeah, so we drove, but we didn't do very long tours. So it would be like a few days at the most. And we didn't have a tour bus. We just had a truck and a trailer. So, I mean, we just got cheap hotel rooms and just drove in the truck, basically. And yeah, there was some sketchy hotels we stayed at. One of our guitars got robbed by a prostitute would be the technical term for it. one time she was weird. She had sex with him, did not charge him anything. And like, he wasn't even aware she was like that. He thought she was just like a random girl that we met there. Cause like, we're young and naive and don't know what's going on. And then, he's really realized his wallet's gone. And then she texts him apologizing. So I don't know. It was a very odd situation. But crazy stuff happens.
Kind of the greatest thing about being on the road is like, you know, the randomness of things that happen, because you're just kind of in this blank space when you're touring, you know, you're not home, you're not really away. You're always in an in-between, especially if it's like makeshift. You know, I remember when I first went on the road, I didn't get to stay in nice hotels either. And sometimes it's fun because you can party in a shitty hotel and make noise and nobody cares. You have an outdoor entrance. Everybody's walking in and out of your room. But yes, you do at times come across some suspect people. Do you plan to travel with your family band, with your dad and your brother, once he learns the drums?
I mean, I wouldn't be against it. I don't think it's probably that realistic. It's more of a collaborative effort, just creating the songs. But I mean, I don't know if everybody could get their schedules. It's like, I'm very busy. My dad's, even though he's retired, still. He's not fully retired. He's just kind of allows himself a lot of time. And then my brother has a really busy job too. So I don't know. I'm probably not that realistic, but I am working on a different music project with actually a couple members of my old band, as well as a couple new people. And so we've been writing and recording, and we should be coming out with an EP this year. I don't know the name of the band yet. We've got to change it. We're not going to be the Last Relapse still. I'm like, that's like, it's not, you know, 2007 anymore with like MySpace and like all that. It's like, we're much older now. So it's just, that won't work, but we've got to figure that out. And, but we've been, recording and, very excited about getting that going.
And when you're recording, is everybody in the same place or do you do this remotely?
A mixture of both. Not all of us are savvy with recording. I've gotten together with, certain people that like kind of need assistance with it or, you know, whatnot, or just like, just, you know, it kind of depends. Like with guitar, like my guitarist, we got together and we did everything together because, me and him are the only guitarist in the band. So it kind of just makes sense. With drums, like that's happening, like, you know, remotely basically. And then same with bass. That's my main music project right now. And under that, whatever band name we decide on, I will be, you know, playing shows again, like maybe not. The goal was probably to get the EP out this year sometime and then full length next time, start playing sometime in between all that.
So you absolutely love being on stage and live entertainment.
I miss it a lot. It's like a, it's like a drug.
It's like a drug.
It is.
It's like a drug. And it's got its peaks and its valleys. And it also has this thing where, you know, you're on tour for a period of time and Kay does all of my editing with my podcast and travels with me for all of my international trips and creates all my content for YouTube. There's this like, this tour depression you go through when it's over because you got so used to living this life, right? Like 2 weeks before tour is over, you're like, I can't wait to get home and make my own food and sleep in my own bed. And then like 2 days before it's over, you're like, oh my gosh, we've been together so much. We're going to miss each other.
Yeah. No, it's definitely something that you miss. Like when you're on stage like that and get all the adrenaline going, like it just, nothing else will bring that back. Like it's just, you know, performing in porn, I don't really get adrenaline going like that. Like nothing else will do that for me. So you definitely want to get back to that. And I don't know, I don't really like talking in front of like, you know, a lot of people. I'm not like, you know, I don't mind it, but I really like singing and playing music in front of a lot of people.
And you also probably love to travel because you have to love to travel to want to be on the road. And when you're on the road traveling every day is that little adventure of like, where are we going to eat today? Like what's around? Like, you know, when you're down south, you're like, we got to eat a Cracker Barrel. Like there's like random things you see that you don't have maybe where you live that you're like, oh, wow, this is here. You know, Steak and Shake was a big one on the road that we didn't have other places. Wawa, when you're in the Northeast, you're like, oh my God, Wawa is like the best thing ever. And these are like little adventures in your time. When you were on the road, did you guys also sightsee at all, visit museums, do local things, or no, not so much?
Not so much. You kind of just find yourself busy with random stuff, like just traveling. It just consists of losing things and having to like replace essential things. And like, it's just kind of a constant game of that usually. You know, and then also a lot of the venues, like you have to be there early and there's like a lot of waiting around. So you just kind of, we didn't have a whole lot of extra time.
I hate to say it, Connor, but that is a male statement you just said. The losing things and having to replace things. Such more of a, let's face it,
you know,
it's definitely more of a guy thing than a girl thing. Like every one of my guy friends has an Apple AirTag on his wallet now and his keys. And when you've got to go to that level to make sure you don't lose something, it's pretty
serious. It's a serious problem. Yeah, no, it's a real thing. I literally will ask women where all my stuff is, even if I just met them. I literally be like, have you seen this? Or then they'll know. Like they like women like are more aware of the surroundings. They take like a mental like photograph of everything. They know where every material object is like at all times. I'm the exact opposite. I'm very oblivious in most ways, observant in specific ones. My mind's a mystery.
So you have been able to fund your passion for music by being in the adult industry, which I find fascinating. And it's something that I like to bring a lot of light to here on my podcast is so many people in the industry are using the wealth that they're able to acquire to fulfill their dreams and do things that other people really wouldn't have the financial stability, the ability to do. So how long have you been in the industry and how helpful has it been for you to be able to buy a guitar and to be able to spend, it costs money to produce music, even if you're, especially if you're remotely, you're using multiple studios, you have to have editors. How long have you been in the industry and how much has it been helpful for your music career?
So really when I was in the last relapse doing full-time music, like, you know, I did that for 6 years. That was all before porn. And then porn came along right at the time that all of our gear was breaking and we couldn't afford to, you know, get new amps, all that stuff. It just became a financial, just impossibility. And so the goal was to like, okay, I can make some quick money and get back into it. Well, at that point I'd never made money myself, really, like not decent money. And it took a while to make, you know, enough to where I'm like, okay, like maybe, you know, I could put some money back towards this. But then when you make money for the first time, like, and you're like, do I really want to spend money on something that really never brought me any money? And so it kind of had to reach a certain point where I'm like, okay, this isn't going to hurt me. I need to do it for my own mental health. And like, I have my own like creative passions that are worth pursuing even at a cost. But really I haven't seen the fruits of that labor yet. Like I'm just now over the last couple of years making moves to really get back into it. So, you know, it's made it easier like the last couple of years. But really I've had so much music stuff. My dad gave me so much music stuff too. I still have a lot of it's like old school, but still works great. So, you know, I will look forward to the next couple of years being able to not worry as much about all the finances as I get into it. But I can foresee exactly what you're talking about and how much, you know, more helpful it is to not have to worry about, because it's expensive to get things started in music for sure.
Yeah, it's not only expensive. A lot of people don't realize that when you're a new band, even if you're selling out a venue, you might not be making that much money. And by the time you pay your crew and by the time you pay travel, hotel, and food, you could be breaking even, or also even worse, you're paying everybody else but yourself.
Right. Yeah. The most I ever made at a show was $600 and I got a speeding ticket on the way that was $400. So, yeah.
No, so like that's that, like you're up one, you're back one, you're up one, but that's just life. What's it been like for you as a male performer in the adult industry?
It's been a wild ride. I mean, for years it was very smooth sailing. It was like maybe I'd shoot 5 to 10 times a month and it was very manageable and a good steady pace. You know, had a more balanced life. And now the last couple years, I don't know what happened, but I've picked up production for like a few different European networks and Team Skeet. And so I'm shooting almost every day now, sometimes multiple scenes in a day. And it's a lot to handle. At this point, I'm very
thankful. Let me for my viewer, listener, yes. You're shooting multiple scenes a day. Does that mean you're performing in both or that you're producing some of those as well? You're shooting, you're directing, you're doing all that for Team Skeet, or are you in both of those scenes in one day?
I'm usually in both of the scenes in one day because I shoot a lot of POV stuff and I just have a lot of different people that need content with me in it, which is why they come to me. So like but there are certain sites I shoot for that I'm not the male talent. So it kind of just depends.
It's hard on your body.
It is. And you know, every day, I mean, I've had to work out more regularly just to be able to physically do it. Meanwhile, I'm getting, you know, I'm 33 years old, so it's like, I'm still young, but it's,
and you look really young. You look really young.
No, thank you.
Yeah. I think a big misconception is like, oh, I don't want to work out because then I'll be tired for my scene.
No.
Where I was always like, no, I've got to train so that my legs don't get tired during the scene.
Yeah. People find themselves making excuses from working out. And it makes sense. Like you'd be too tired, but that, no, my experience is the same as what you're getting at is the, really, I mean, you can overdo it at a certain point, but really, like, you need to stretch. I mean, I stretch every day. Like, you need some bare minimum exercise to be able to handle the physical activity.
Yoga is really helpful, especially for male performers, because you are put in so many different holding positions that are angled one way. And so if you're facing a camera out to the right, the entire scene, you can get sore on that side of your body if you didn't stretch properly. And when I had my agency, I used to talk to male performers all the time. Like, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but like yoga is your friend. Of course, you know, Connor, that I get a ton of emails, requests on social media, guys getting into the business. So I think this is the perfect time for me to ask you, what advice do you give for guys that want to get into the business?
I mean, the industry is changing so much. Like the advice I would have given a few years ago is very different than what I would give now. But I mean, now it's like, just, you know, pick up a camera, like start shooting, or not even that, just pull out your phone, start posting to OnlyFans and post to social media and just network with people. And I mean, go from there. Like it's an open internet now. It's like, there's an even playing field for like a lot of people. I mean, for everybody. So you can just really just jump in now. And, you know, if you start as a creator really is probably the best thing to do, instead of, because you could randomly contact people, but if you don't have your own stuff going, like probably people aren't going to really take you seriously. So, I mean, it nowadays it's like people kind of expect you to have at least an OnlyFans or maybe have shot some videos. So like maybe just start social networks, maybe put your stuff on Pornhub, whatever.
When you first started shooting, what was the hardest thing to get used to?
It's a hard one. It definitely, like, I was very nervous at first, like
the quiet, right? The quiet. I think people don't realize how quiet it is that first minute. And I knew, you know, for a while, Holly Randall was shooting a series of amateurs. It was like couples and this and that. And she would say to me, like, once the room got quiet, they would be like, it's too quiet, you know? And they're like, well, we needed this quiet because we have to shoot. You can't have music playing in the background. And so I learned from that, like the quiet really throws off someone that's new. And then you can sometimes hear your own heartbeat because it's so quiet in the room. And that can be enough. So you have to prepare yourself for that in advance.
Yeah, I think honestly playing shows and be having, because like the adrenaline I experience from that is probably very against my nature to even perform on stage and do all that. And but like, so I experienced a lot of growth and just had to get over a lot of stuff just from that. And like really, like performing has never made me have like that type of like the jitters like that. It just really hasn't. Like I've always felt like I could always recognize like if I maybe wasn't doing my best, but I didn't really ever get worked up about it. If you know, I don't know. Like, and I will say like quiet for me, I know what you mean. Like most people, you're totally right. I've seen it. For me, it's a good thing. I actually like the people talking about random stuff like that, like distracts my dick, I think, from like being able to stay hard. So like, to me, I'm just like, actually, like, just maybe just settle down, everybody. Like, we can get back to this. Like, I'm probably the opposite. But yeah, it was just really just one scene at a time, just learning, getting better and better. Like, it didn't happen immediately. But you figure out various things and what works for you and what doesn't.
And you have the great young look for all of the MILF genre, for all of that, for sure. Yeah. And you can ride that young look for a long time. Apparently. And what helps is when a guy gets into the business, and a couple of us, you know, when I used to be in the business, a couple of us would start working with somebody new. The women in the industry are very good about reaching out to their girlfriends and saying, hey, I work with this guy. He's newer. He's super great. I think you'd like him, because we kind of know what we like in somebody and what our fit would be. And so that can really help propel a male performer's career, because male performers have a much slower start to their career. The agents don't believe in them. The producers don't believe in them. They really lowball them on their rate. And it takes so much longer for a male performer than a female performer, right? And then also we get to go out on the road and feature dance and feel the energy of our fans, almost like you do when you're doing music. So that kind of gives you a little bit of fuel as well. But yeah, I tell each guy to be patient for the first year or two, because it doesn't happen overnight for male performers.
Oh yeah. No, it's a long road. It's hard, very difficult to get started as a guy. So you just, every opportunity, you just have to seize the moment and do your best. And one good thing about being a male performer is if you do find producers that like using you, that they more often will use you over and over again. So it's harder to get new opportunities because you're not a new hot girl. Every single producer just wants to shoot. But you know, when you are given opportunities, it could be something very regular, potentially.
Once a crew likes you as a male performer, they will hire you more than you can handle, just because they're comfortable with you. And it just makes everything so much better, right? So much easier. How long do you plan to stay in the industry? Do you think that you'll eventually step away from being in front of the camera and just be behind the camera producing, directing, or do you think you'll stay?
I think at some level I'll stay for a bit. I don't know. You know, I don't have like a certain cutoff point in my mind. To some degree, I don't have much choice. Like, you know, this is the best thing I have going for me. So it's like, I would be dumb to walk away. Like we just touched on, like it can take a while to get things going. Like I had some, you know, moderate success over the years, but I'm technically right now with I'm doing the more than I ever have, performing. So I've got to roll with the opportunity. But overall, I would like to diversify my life more. I'd like to play more music. I would like to give my body a little bit of a break and do more behind the camera as opposed to in front. But right now, just kind of, seeing where it takes me.
Well, it's the greatest option too, because you don't have to leave. You could stay and work a smaller schedule while you're on the road, so that you know if your band isn't bringing in a ton of money, but you're having a great time. It's fulfilling. It's giving you joy, right? So you could still go out on the road and then you come back and you shoot, produce, direct, whatever you want. Like it is optimal, like the best of both worlds. And it allows you to do that, because so many of the things that we love the most don't make us the most money.
That's very true. It's I've always thought, like, I knew I never would wanted to work a regular day job. Like I knew that I would only want to play music. Was it like when I grew up, I was like, I'm only playing music. There's no plan B. If I fail, I'm like homeless, I don't care. Like whatever happens, happens. And then porn came along. I was like, oh, I guess this is not so bad. Like this could work too.
It's fantastic. But, you're never going to do something for same day pay, multiple days a week where you get to come in and go out and you have no responsibility thereafter. You know, like
it's great.
It's a total blessing in a sense of like fast forwarding your life, allowing you to like, I'll give an example. Like, you know, selling my books through my bookstore is like the least profitable thing that I do in my life, but it brings me the most joy. And when I get an order, because I live super close to a post office, I like fill it immediately, walk it over to the post office. I get excited when I open the thing and drop it in. You know, like it's something so simple, but it's like, oh, someone trusted me to order this for me. You know, I'm going to beat Amazon Prime and I'm going to get it out same day. And people are always surprised. They're like, oh my gosh, she got this to me so fast. But it's because it matters to me. Just like your music matters to you. And you don't count money when you're doing something that truly feeds your soul.
You're so right. All of that was so profound. And I agree with you 100%. Like, I just have a feeling, a belief. I don't believe in much. Like, I'm pretty, like, open, whatever. But, like, I believe if you just pursue whatever you want to do more than anything, things will work out. Like, it may not make you a millionaire, but ultimately, you're not going to get those dreams out of your head. So you better be best just pursue them, because they'll mess with you if you don't.
Agreed. And like some people don't have them, right? And so for those of us that have them, we have to pursue them. It's a nagging thing. It's like, no, this is what I really want to do. And for you, being on tour is ideally what you really want to do.
It is. It's number one. It will always be number one. I'm so grateful for porn, but like we started off this conversation with, I think it will help me a lot more just to not have to worry about finances, because that was the theme of my 6 years of pursuing music before porn. So it should be a lot different this go around. I'm not a dumb out of control teenager anymore. That also helps. But it's a whole other world nowadays. But balancing it all, it'll just be a balancing act that I'm looking forward to.
And you're young, man. You could do this, for years more. The best male performers stay in the industry in their 40s. I mean, it's not time sensitive. And also, when you're getting work and it's hard to say no to, you take it, because in the back of your mind, you're like, okay, this brings me one step closer to my true passion. And it's something to be grateful for. There's a lot of gratitude for the time that we get to spend in the adult industry and spread our wings a bit, meet great people, make money, and have flexibility and freedom to say, no, I don't want to work on Friday, or yes, I do want to work on Friday. Like, there's something about the choice that we get to make that most people don't know what that's like, because they're going to the same place every day doing the same job.
Yeah. I can't even imagine doing that now. I mean, it's like, I'm very, very grateful, but I think about that sometimes. I'm like, where, working 9 to 5, it's like where you have no hours left to like do anything. I mean, it's really, really insane. And I've been there. Like I've worked a regular job before porn. Like,
what did you do?
I worked for a marketing company for 6 months. That was like my only real job. Besides that, I delivered pizzas for 4 years. Yeah. That was like from like 17 to 21.
Where were you living then? Atlanta?
Yeah. Well, in the country.
And this was before, we had Grubhub, Postmates, everything else. So you were like the actual pizza delivery guy, only delivering pizzas all the time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I worked probably like only 25, 30 hours a week, because even that allowed me enough flexibility to pursue music. I mean, I've always been just trying to free up time to pursue music. Even in high school, I went to talked my mom into doing a 2 day a week, like classical school, where I basically just went in, took tests, and like they taught like some quick stuff. And then I had the rest of the week to basically pursue music. And so, I mean, I was pursuing music full time at age 15.
I love it.
Yeah. And so now it's like, I've never been so busy in my entire life until now. But I do have some great help around me. So I've just got to get more of it. And then kind of just make one step that direction at a time.
So aside from music and being in the industry, What does Connor Cox like to do on his time off?
Oh, man. I love to get outside. I love sunlight. Even though I've got to work all the time, like, it's ridiculous, but I got like a desk outside that I will like just, I'll make sure my computer's in the shade because computers don't like sunlight. I found out the hard way.
Don't.
Yeah. And then I'll just kind of like but I'll be in the sun. And then throughout the day, like I'll kind of just drag the table back. And so I'm just working outside in the sun I get sunburned fairly easily. So I got to kind of watch for that. But I just love to get sunlight. I have to stretch every day. I like working out. I like watching football. I do like sports here and there. But really music.
Nature is your thing. That's where you reconnect. Yeah. And yeah. I'm the same. Like, even if it's just a 30-minute walk, I'll be like, okay, I worked really hard this morning. I have a break between meetings. Like, the best thing to do is just get outside and get in a little walk. I have a patio and it has power. So I sit out there with my computer as well, because I'm the same way. Like, if it's nice out, it's like outdoor office is happening today. And that makes me happy. And I get fresh air. And yes, you got to keep the computer and your phones in the shade, but
yes,
it's so worth it. And so, like, I'm glad that you get out to do that and that you have space where you live to be able to have a desk outside. Like, that's just awesome.
Yeah, no, it's essential for me. I have to have a backyard. Like, I've got to be able to just, be able to get naked in my backyard. And like, that's bare minimum for me. Like, I've got to have that. I would move to the middle of nowhere in a hut somewhere if I had to make sure I have that. So it's essential, to be able to stay, fit enough, active enough to be able to do what I do. Just getting outside doing random stuff. Me and my girlfriend, Katie Kins, went to the zoo on Sunday. That was amazing. Yeah, like just doing random stuff. Honestly, I work all the time. If I have any extra time, it really goes towards music. But,
we have to do those little things. And once you do it, once you're at the zoo, you are probably like, man, I wish I could do stuff like this more. You know what I mean? Because it just feels good. You get out of your element. You're soaking up something totally different. You guys are enjoying time together. Like, all of that matters too and balances everything. Connor, where can everyone find you and your music on social media?
All right. So they can find me on Twitter at Connor_Cox, 1 N and Connor, 3 X's and Cox. On Instagram, it's TheConnorCox. Just 1 X in that one because Instagram doesn't like the multiple X's. I don't know what my TikTok name. I think it's just Connor Cox. I think I'm pretty sure that's all it is there. And then The Holdings Music basically is, I believe, the universal username for all social media.
It is. You've got The Holdings Music at Facebook and Instagram. And on Twitter, you are The Holdings. But everybody can learn about your family in music at theholdings.com. So I want everybody to go and check out and support. I love that you and your dad are doing this together. Your brother taking lessons to get on the drums. Like, all of this is fantastic. And Connor, I hope we see you out there living your best life on tour. And I will make sure that I come and see you perform live and celebrate your music.
Oh, thanks so much. You are so sweet. You're awesome to talk to.
Thanks for coming on today. And everyone's going to give you a follow. Don't you worry.
All right. Thank you so much.
That was such a great little chat. I love Connor. He's so cute, so sweet, and I love his passion for music and the reminder that he gave us that sometimes when we're following our passion, they're not about profit. And we have to remember to do things that we love to do that don't make us money. Yes, money is very important. I understand that. But sometimes there's things you like to do, whether you like to paint or whether you like to sew and you just like to do it. And that's okay too. With Connor, it's his music. I love that there's a family band, which you can follow at The Holdings Music. And for me and Kay, going to a Yankees game is in our very near future, as well as some cool content that we're going to be creating for Ticket Rev. Download the Ticket Rev app today. Follow on all platforms at Ticket Rev. Another Ticket Rev ticket giveaway coming to you soon as well. But make sure you check out the way you can buy and sell tickets on this new app that will just ease you of everything. You're no longer looking around the whole arena for the prices that you want. Just look in the section that you like. You cue that in. Then your price gets queued in, and if something becomes available in that section for that price, it becomes yours. And maybe you're a season ticket holder. Maybe you got tickets to a show, a concert, or a game, and you can't go. You can also list your tickets for sale on TicketRev. I have a girlfriend who has season tickets to the Yankees, but she only lives here part-time. So she just went through her schedule and listed the ones that she's not going to be able to go to so somebody else can enjoy those awesome seats that she has. So check out TicketRev.com. And download the app today. It is time for the moment you've all been waiting for, the Ask Lisa Ann portion of the exercise. That's right, the mailbag. If you have a question for me, you can send it to asklisaann@gmail.com and I just may answer it. Now, I got to say, I've been getting some good questions, but of course, there's also always a lot of very confusing questions. This is a question that was asked to me that is just a question that is confusing me. Let's see your take on this first question. I like to throw the weird one in first. We kind of get it out of the way. I think it's become a staple. That's how we do this. So Loveled says, there's no subject. Why can't people use a subject? Even a hello helps. Hi, Lisa, comma, can we talk? Question mark. Really, I talk a lot. I talk every Wednesday night on Better Sports Live on the Better Sports Network. I talk right here on my podcast. I talk on all my live shows. But as you can imagine, with the amount of meetings that I do on the daily, the amount of people that I do business with, that I need to interact with, that I need to like talk to Kay about the podcast, or I need to talk to a venue about an event that I'm doing, or I need to talk to my book people about shipping books to a different event that I'm doing, I do a lot of talking. The one-on-one talking with the millions and millions upon strangers that would like to one-on-one talk with me confuses me because where am I supposed to find the time? But obviously, this person doesn't listen to my podcast where they'd hear me talk all the time, and I'm just sorry. I'm sorry that I don't have time to talk to everybody that wants to talk to me. I'm sure that's a very common thing for a lot of people who are not only incredibly busy, but well-known, that everybody wants their time. I get 1,000 messages a day I need to talk to you that are work-related, and then a good couple hundred that are personal-related, and that's overwhelming. When people say, I need, I'm always feeling a bit of panic, because it's like, okay, but nobody really asks what I need, so I'm sorry, Loveland, I cannot talk. Here we go to the normal messages right here. Hi, LA. Comma. By the way, this is a very well-written email. And you know a well-written email makes me happy. Pardon the interruption. How are you feeling? Question mark. I am feeling great. Which person in history, if you ever had the opportunity to interview for your podcast, would you select and why? I love the way you live. Hashtag the life. Guidance. Signed off, Bob. Obviously, many of you know that I would love to interview the one and only Sarah Palin. I just think the world would love it. I just think that everybody would think it would be great. I have a lot of questions for Sarah Palin. I follow Sarah on social media. You know, I did the Who's Nailing Palin. Everybody wonders who's still nailing Palin. But I just think Sarah Palin and me on an interview would rock the world. So for that reason, the answer is Sarah Palin. The next one, another good one. The subject says, dream dinner date. Lisa Ann, if you could have dinner and pick the brain of one person alive or when they were alive, who would you pick? Family members are excluded. Mine is Bono. Thanks and stay sexy. This was an easy one for me. Sometimes I read an email and something comes to me right away and I write a note on this because I don't want to overthink it, right? I've always loved Frank Sinatra, still love his music, would love to know how different it was to create music in that era, would love to know what it was like to be able to run around the world before cell phones, before people had social media, a larger than life that wasn't really collecting data like we are now. You know, what things we don't know that he did in his free time, or, you know, what his life was like on the road, because everything was so grandiose back then, but it was also so private. And just the skill set and the talent behind everything that made his music so unique that we still listen to it today. It hasn't lost its luster. And so for me, the dinner would be with Frank Sinatra. We got another one here. It says, I wanted to know if you ever got part in a major movie or on TV commercials. So a major movie, I did stunts in two movies, both Darren Aronofsky movies. The first one was The Black Swan, and the second one was Noah. And Black Swan was the movie that got me my SAG card. I was on set enough days, and I was able to get my SAG card through doing that movie, which was incredible, which is very helpful when you get, you know, asked to do other roles, like when I did my spot, my cameo on Billions. Billions season 4, episode 7, I had a cameo, and I was with Ray Vitesse and Corey Chase. It was amazing, and it was the last job I took in 2019. I wrote about it in my book, The Life Back, because it was so special because I'm such a fan of the show. So I also starred in an Eminem video. The song is We Made You, and I just saw somebody put out how many years ago that video was made the other day, and I was like, oh my gosh, that was that long ago. So I've done quite a few things. When it comes to commercials, I've done a commercial for Male UltraCore. I've done a commercial for Ultra Farm RX, which you see right here on my podcast when you watch on the YouTube and you hear when you listen. So I continue to want to do small roles when I can get them, and having my SAG card really helps, and also you get commissions. Now, it's funny because, you know, you get residuals and commissions on checks. And so when my business manager, who gets all of my mail and handles all of my books, you know, we get these checks, everything's scanned in, I get to see it, so I know it was deposited. And, you know, sometimes it reminds me of the Seinfeld where he was signing all of those checks for like 8 cents. You know, sometimes they'll be like $8, and you're like, and so whenever I get one of those that are like less than $20, I always write back to him, don't worry, I won't spend it all in one place. But I mean, over time, it adds up. You get $108 checks if you've got $800. So being a part of the reunion and being able to get residuals is a really cool thing. At the point of doing the shows is exciting enough, but Billions was an awesome show to be on, and the Eminem video was awesome. And I could be missing something, but being on set for The Black Swan and Noah were two really cool experiences as well. So thanks for asking the question. We've got one more here. This is actually a layered question. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then I'll go through and answer one layer at a time. Hi, Lisa. By the way, the subject matter says a few questions. Hi, Lisa. I hope you're doing well. I would like to know something. What were your big childhood dreams, and what has always fascinated you? Next question. What is your strongest character trait that has always accompanied you on your way? And the next question. And do you perhaps still have dreams that you want to realize in the next few years? So the first question, what were your big childhood dreams, and what has always fascinated you? Travel. One word, travel. My biggest childhood dreams were traveling around and seeing the world, going around the globe, seeing other countries. And I'm so glad that through the industry, I've been able to not only do that, but I still do it. June 9th through 12th, I will be in Athens, Greece at the Erotic Art Festival. Last year, I got to go to Astasia in Switzerland. You know, these are incredible gifts to me because as a little girl, all I did was look at the globe. All I did was watch, you know, when they did little specials back then on travel, which was once in a while. We didn't have as many channels, so we didn't have as much. I had a placemat, I remember as a kid, that was the U.S., so I could memorize all the capitals and all the cities in each state. So travel has always fascinated me, and I'm glad that I get to do it. What is your strongest character trait that has always accompanied you on the way? I would have to say it's discipline. I am a very disciplined person. Yes, I go off the rails once in a while. There may be a Vegas night that lasts way too long and there were one or two too many cocktails. But I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to knock on wood as I do it. Knock, knock, knock. I have never missed a flight. That right there is discipline. Because you have to be prepared. You have to know the night before, okay, what time do I want to be at the airport? How long is it going to take for me to get there? When do I have to arrange my pickup? When should I be packing my stuff up? Discipline is forward thinking and making sure that you never get into a situation that you are running late to an uncomfortable pace that it's stressing you out. I don't want the stress because I don't want stress hormones. Stress hormones can do a lot to you. They can age you. They can make you bloated. They can you get cortisol coming out into your system, which is very bad for you and can make you feel bloated. And also it creates inflammation. So like stress is key to not have. And so that discipline when traveling has always helped me. I also have discipline when it comes to working out, eating right, taking care of myself. I know if I'm going to go out and have a couple cocktails one night, I am not going to drink any cocktails the second night. You know, the discipline has helped me and it has kept me out of bad situations when I travel. It's kept me not having to spend stupid amounts of money because I missed a flight and have to book another one. You know, so discipline would be my strongest character trait. And do I perhaps still have dreams that I want to realize in the next few years? I do. I've been saying this for years, and I moved here to New York City before the pandemic to make this happen. Then we know the world shut down and things got complicated, but I would really like to buy property in Italy. I'd really like to have a getaway place that I can not only use, but my friends can use. I'd love to retire there. I have enough friends that have had enough places here in the U.S. that I know I could still have my feet planted in the United States somewhere. I know my best friends would give me a room at their house for when I wanted to have, you know, my U.S. days, but I really would love to have property in Italy and live the Italian life. Tara lives there and she is so happy, and spending time with her again this weekend reminded that. So these questions, Valerio, were perfect. I appreciate you. Again, if you want to be a part of the mailbag, you can email me at asklisaann@gmail.com. Also reminding you that May 6th, I will be celebrating my birthday in Las Vegas at the Sapphire Pool. The party starts at 2 p.m. The following weekend, May 13th, I will be hanging out late night in New York City at Bounce. I cannot wait till that party so all of my friends in the city can come in. Hopefully you'll stop by as well. June 9th through 12th, I will be in Athens, Greece at the Erotic Art Festival. So if you are in Greece, you better get yourself to Athens to say hello. I will be studying the language, just the little greetings, the things that I need to know so I can communicate as best possible. And then July, I will be doing Exotica in Miami. We've got Exotica, New Jersey in November. We've got Exotica, DC in December. So I'll be showing up at all of the Exotica shows, and every Wednesday night, you can hear me and my sports takes from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Better Sports Live on the Better Sports Network. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Ticket Rev. Go to TicketRev.com today. Download the Ticket Rev app. Follow Ticket Rev on all social media. Ultra Farm RX. Go to ultrafarmrx.com/Lisa. And guys, this is something for you to be the best version of yourself that you can be, and make sure you kick it up a notch in the bedroom. And then for fantasy sports madness, we have our new addition, and that is Fantrax. Go and check out the site today, fantrax.com/Lisa Ann. I thank you all for being here. Subscribe, rate, and review. Check out the video component on my YouTube channel. And thank you for listening to another episode of the Lisa Ann Experience.